I could tell my tale of woe. No one knows how much trouble that I see. I'm just like the old black crow. For they're always talking about the way I live. Talking about the way I live. They're always saying somebody stole my man, and that I'm homely, my clothes are second hand. A vampire, a woman of the town. Call me a vampire, a woman of the town. Said that I ramble in every cabaret. Shot full of whiskey, stayed out till break of day. I'm tired of living, but I'm afraid to die. I'm tired of living, but I'm afraid to die. But I'm worried because they all accuse. They've got me singing my family skeleton blues.
Soy Daniel Monedero y te doy la bienvenida a Blues en las Ondas. Kitty Brown abría el programa con el Family Skeleton Blues, un tema truculento perfecto para estas fechas. Y a continuación, el Summertime de Miles Davis, quien escribió el libro Miles, The Autobiography. Un escrito donde el mismo Miles nos cuenta toda su vida, lo que es un lujo teniendo en cuenta que fue trascendental en el mundo del jazz. Además, en 2 semanas celebraremos nuestro aniversario. Por ello, si nos mandas el título y autor de tu blues favorito a concurso@bluesenlasondas.net antes del 18 de noviembre, podrás participar en el sorteo de una armónica diatónica y el genial libro Miles, The Autobiography. Thank you.
When I was 21 years old, y'all, all I wanted was a stripper girlfriend and a gold-top Les Paul. Be careful of the things you wish for. You might get them. There was a nightclub in Dallas. It's called Mother Blues. It's where Lightning Hopkins played and Freddie King even paid some dues. All the dealers and gamblers and young white hipsters, they all made the scene. The girl at the door who checked IDs was just 16. It was not a place for law-abiding citizens. Jackie Jones, he had him a habit. He just couldn't stop. Give me $500 and I sell you my Les Paul gold top. I drove my daddy's car down to Ross Avenue and I sold it. I guess I should have told him, alluded to the police, that someone stole it. It was just the first of many bad decisions I was to make for the next 40 years. Ah, but I had me a guitar. Well, I tell you what, you people being here looking at you and looking at each and every one of you, I know that you understand that the real nightlife begins after the clubs close, what they call after hours. So there I was, 21 years old, and I had me this guitar, and there was this club called Mother Blues, and I go over there and hang out. And this is what happened one night. At 2 a.m. and everybody's gone, but the band, the dealers, and Jack Jones, and the girls from the Landing Strip Club come over after they put their clothes back on. So I'm at my blues and I'm sitting on an amp. I'm playing Twist and Shout. And this tall drink of water walking looked like she might have to shoot her way out. She come up to me and says, "You know anything good on that guitar?" I didn't say nothing, I just kept on playing. She said, "You ever heard this song called Poke Sally Danny?" I just kept on playing that guitar. She said, "Every time I hear that song, my insides feel like warm butter, and I just want to take off my clothes and dance around in my underwear." I said, "Down in Louisiana, where the alligator grows so mean." Yeah, I know I'm not too proud of myself. But, yeah. So we hit it off. We hit it off, me and this dancer. We did. We hit it off like a metaphor. Like a metaphor for a hydrogen bomb. We was enriched uranium, supercritical mass. We was a chain reaction. It was a love and lust, mostly lust, but a mutual attraction. boys at 21 years old. I had it all. I had me a fine stripper girlfriend in a gold top Les Paul. The future, it looked promising, but there were dark clouds on the horizon. She was a beautiful girl, but she liked to drink tequila and take Tylenols. And I come home 4 or 5 times and she'd been drunk and she's called my Les Paul. So we broke up and she went to Hollywood. She married an actor. She got a job dancing on the Hudson Brothers TV show and modding lipstick for Max Factor. I'm glad she done all right, I really am. You know, I got over and I'm glad she kind of got things together, you know. And like I say, I'm glad she done all right. And now me, I never busted through the gates into the big time as a rock and roll star. For 40 years, I just carried around an old gold top guitar. But love and fate are mysterious things in this funky old world. You see, it was 20 years ago in February, I married that Mother Blues door girl. We had us a boy, and he's 17 years old now, and he's playing guitar. And kind of the reason I wrote this song is, you know, I don't know if he's going to hang his life on a guitar or not. You know, he plays guitar. He's my full-time guitar player when he's not in school or he gets grounded. But the reason I wrote this song was about 6-7 months ago. Tony Joe White called me up, and he said, "Ray, I hear your boy playing guitar on your new record." And him playing the lead guitar on Wasp's Nest and Pots and Pans. And I said, "Yes, sir, it is." And he said, "Wasn't that him playing on the old guitar on that other record that you had before that?" And I said, "Yes, sir." "Isn't that him playing guitar on the song Wasp's Nest?" And I said, "Yeah, that's him playing guitar." And he said, "Will you tell that boy that he playing the bona fide blues and the rock and roll truth?" And that made me feel good. It really did, you know. So I'm very grateful for that. Very grateful for that. I'm very grateful for you people coming out here today, and I'm very honored and grateful to share the stage with Rick Richards right there. I tell you what, just laying it down. You know, here I am, this old cat, but I'm very, like I say, I'm very grateful I can write these old songs and run around the world and play them and have a pretty good time, and I got some good things going on right now, so I'm very grateful. And the days that I keep my gratitude higher than my expectations, I have really good days. Good days. Thank you very much, Mr. Rick Richards. Thank you.
Good day. Thank you. Ray Harper sonaba original como pocos en el Mother's Blues. Y ahora, buen blues desde México con el Wamhammer de Ensamble Ardiente, después de recordar que puedes disfrutar con Blues en las Ondas los miércoles a las 6:30 y los sábados a las 5:30 en UPV Radio y bluesenlasondas.net. Thank you.
Texas, but he won't back it up. Talking about Nancy's foolish thinking, you best take one look around. I got friends in the lowest places, I can't sink much further down. Do what you wanna, but no one rides for free. Say what you gonna, do what you wanna do to me. Just don't shake my family tree. From the hills of Carolina, across the mountains black, you ain't got to look too hard to find out where we are. Talking about trying to back me in a corner, now I got you on the run. It's time for you to man up, trade that suitcase for a gun. Do what you wanna, but no one rides for free. Say what you gonna, do what you wanna do to me. Just don't shake my family tree.
Rory Kelly nos puso en pie con un potente Family Tree, como Mike Morgan y Lee McVie nos sumirán en lo más profundo con Cold Wind. Pero antes, recuerda que el miércoles 31 a las 11 tendremos a los Big Hollers en el Papel Asesino, en la Plaza del Cedro número 1. El día siguiente, jueves 1 a las 11 y media, disfrutaremos con la Nano Blues Jam Session en la Edad de Oro, en la calle San Jacinto 3 de Valencia. El fin de semana empezará el sábado 3 a las 11 y media con los Desperate 45ths en el Black No Club, en la calle Polipeirolón 15. Y acabará el domingo 4 a las 8 y media con la Jam Session con un toque de jazz del Café Mercedes, en la calle Sueca 27 de Valencia.
Thank you. Is anybody happy?
What's up?
Yeah. skin down so low you can smell it.
Por que? Eu vou ler a lei do Cafá.
Leo Lago nos daba blues experimental con I Got a Blues Feeling About It desde Brasil y Yamendo.com. Sin embargo, los celtas cortos seguirán experimentando con un animado blues del Rosario aquí, en Blues en las Ondas.
We'll be right back.
Lemuel Fowler nos ofrecía ese intrincado Steeping All Fool. Sin embargo, hoy despediremos el programa con un contemporáneo de Miles Davis, cuya autobiografía puedes ganar junto a una armónica diatónica si nos envías el título y autor de tu blues favorito a concurso@bluesenlasondas.net antes del 18 de noviembre. Y es que Charlie Parker, también conocido como Bear, nació el 29 de agosto de 1920 en Kansas City. Parker empieza a tocar el saxo con tan solo 11 años. A los 14 se une a la banda de su instituto y aprende las bases de la improvisación musical. A finales de los 30 practica de forma diligente, varias horas al día y cada día durante 4 años. Y así en el 38 se une a la banda de Jay McShann, tocando por el sureste y metrópolis como Chicago y New York siendo un adolescente. Sin embargo, un año después se traslada a New York, donde sigue su carrera musical mientras se ganaba la vida con otros empleos. Por ejemplo, trabajó como lavaplatos en el local donde tocaba el teclista Art Tatum. En el 42 se une a la banda de Earl Hines, donde conoce al mismísimo Dizzy Gillespie, con quien tocará más adelante. Además, durante esta época conoce incipientes músicos de su edad que marcarían el camino del jazz, como Thelonious Monk, mientras tocaba en los locales de la calle 52. Y así, en un ambiente joven, desenfrenado, carismático y con muchos conocimientos musicales, surge el bebop, un estilo musical caracterizado por un ritmo rápido, virtuosismo e improvisación. Es más, a partir del 45, Charlie Parker gana aún más relevancia en el mundo del jazz, dinamizándolo junto a Dizzy Gillespie, Max Roach, Bud Powell y Miles Davis, entre otros. De hecho, el 26 de noviembre del 45, Parker graba un disco para Savoy tildado como la mejor sesión de jazz de todos los tiempos. Sin embargo, toda esta creación musical de Parker iba unida a la adicción a la heroína y al alcohol, lo que acabó con muchas de sus amistades, ya que Charlie Parker vendía todo lo que tenía y lo que no con tal de conseguir algo que meterse, llegando incluso a empeñar sus propios instrumentos. De hecho, su estado era tal que fue internado en un manicomio de California durante medio año. A su salida del hospital mental, continuó tocando, parecía recuperado y saludable, pero cuando volvió a Nueva York, volvió a caer en la heroína. Y a pesar de su talento, de su genio, de su conocimiento y de sus conciertos por medio mundo, Charlie Parker murió en New York el 12 de marzo de 1955 con tan solo 34 años. Aunque la droga le había deformado tanto que el médico que hizo la autopsia dijo que tenía entre 50 y 60.